जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय। नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की। ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 44 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम। समुद्धरन्ति ये विप्रम सिंधतम मत्परायणम तान उदरिष्ये न चिराद अपभ्यो नौर इवार्णवात्। समुद्धरन्ति ये विप्रम सिदंतम मत्परायणम तन उधरीष्ये नाचिराद अपद्भ्यो नौर इवर्णवाद। समुद्धरन्ति ये विप्रम सिदंतम मत्परायणम तन उधरीष्ये नाचिराद अपद्भ्यो नौर इवर्णवाद। समुद्धरन्ति ये विप्रम सिदंतम मत्परायणम तन उधरीष्ये नाचिराद अपद्भ्यो नौर इवार्णवात्। ये विप्रम सिदंतम मत्परायणम लेडीज। समुद्धरन्ति अपलिफ्ट ये दोज हु विप्रम अ ब्राह्मण और डिवोटी सिदंतम सफरिंग फ्रॉम पॉवर्टी मत्परायणम सरेंडर टू मी तान दोज हु हैव अपलिफ्टेड उधरिष्ये आई विल अपलिफ्ट न चिराद इन द नियर फ्यूचर अपद्भ्यो फ्रॉम ऑल मिजरीज नाउ अबोट इवा लाइक अर्णवात फ्रॉम द ओशन। ट्रांसलेशन प्रोवाइडेड बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। जस्ट एज अ शिप रेस्क्यूज दोज हू हैव फॉलन into the ocean, similarly I very quickly rescue from all calamities those persons who uplift brahmanas and devotees suffering in a poverty-stricken condition. The Lord has described how brahmanas and devotees achieved the perfection of life, and now a similar perfection is offered to those who utilize their materialistic wealth to relieve the poverty-stricken condition of devotees and brahmanas. Although one may neglect the devotional service of the Lord to pursue a material life of sense gratification, one can rectify one's position by dedicating one's hard-earned money to the service of the Lord. Seeing the difficult austerities accepted by saintly persons, a pious person should make arrangements for their comfort. Just as a boat saves hopeless people who have fallen into the ocean, similarly, the Lord uplifts persons who have hopelessly fallen into the ocean of material attachment if they have been charitable to the brahmanas and devotees. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. We are continuing to read the Uddhava Gita, conversations in the 11th canto between the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and his very, very dear friend, dearest friend in Dwarka, Sri Uddhavji. And we can see the conversation is very extensive. The lot of things they have discussed. So many topics have been discussed. So many chapters dedicated to the Lord's conversation with Uddhav. Obviously, it is clear that when Krishna is speaking in detail to Uddhava, knowing that this will be encoded somewhere, this will be picked up. This conversation is not going to be just something which happens between two friends as a casual talk. It's a talk which Krishna, knowing the past, present and future, knows will be embalmed nicely in the Holy Scriptures. And knowing the future, and Shuddha Goswami, knowing the Lord's desire, of course, has perfectly well, practically in great detail, conserved and preserved that conversation in the holy pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this particular section, dedicated to Varnashram system, Krishna is highlighting the functioning style of how society should run. It is so nice to understand that Krishna is saying that there is so much of concern that while I'm in this world, my avatar, my incarnation, my descent, I must leave behind detailed information before I go, where people down the line, kings, acharyas, gurus, saints, will read them and will pick up essential things from this knowledge and guide society down the line based on my teachings. So Krishna, when we read this detailed description, we can practically even feel Krishna's concern for that. I hope that things go all right in the future and that they will be followed. That concern is there, like a loving father before he goes away, you know, to some place. Dekho beta, you know, don't do this, don't meet that fellow, pay the check here properly, see that you do not go to your studies properly, don't fool around, don't watch TV video and waste your time, you know, this and that. He'll tell so many things before he goes. They said, okay, please, you know, I know I'm not going to be there, but I'm not going to be a good child, a good boy, right? And then after giving detailed instructions to his children, he may depart for his next assignment or whatever it is, right? Similarly, Krishna, we are understanding that he is now at Dwarka, so he knows that he's not going to be too long in this world. Krishna is going to leave this world in some time, not in long time, but in a short time. So before he goes, he must sort of download whatever he has to give to the world and to someone. So who's the one who's receiving? It is being downloaded by the most perfect reception, receptive person, who's Krishna's dear most friend, Uddhava, right? And therefore, when we hear this conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, it is something which sort of comes in the end of Bhagavatam. Therefore, it may not sort of have the limelight of the 10th canto or Prachetas or Bhishma or, you know, things like that, because there is no story here. The 11th canto is not a story. There is no pastimes here practically. The whole 11th canto may appear philosophically dry without much of rasa, which we have been used to in the Bhagavatam, rasamalayam type of thing, which we say, right? Where Bhishma is there, Uddhava is, and Prahlad is there, Dhruva is there, and you know, many, many interesting stories are there, but 11th canto seems to be just a lot of instructions, a lot of guidance, a lot of, you know, essential points for devotional service and variety of topics, which Uddhava kept on asking. So, when we sort of look at from that perspective of Krishna giving essential instructions to Uddhava, and then in this section we can understand, oh, what is he going to talk about it today? What is he going to talk about now? Well, today and for this particular few days when we read this chapter, he's going to talk about who are the important people in society, right? So Krishna, how would the world know who are important in society? Common people would never know. Because we would try to start judging people by our mundane understanding of who's important, who's not important. And it's most likely that we would probably, you know, give the people who have got big positions and big money and big power a status of importance. And vice versa, somebody who is deprived of all that will say, well, you know, this guy, you know, he's no position, no money, you know, he's all right, you know, he's not important, right? But that we don't make this terrible mistake of becoming judgmental in our approach to the world situation. Krishna has given instruction, my dear children, please understand, the most important people in society for now and for the eternal future will be one class of people. And they will be the Brahmanas. Right? Krishna has in detail given a very, very heightened position of tremendous importance to the Brahmanical class. It is only because of that particular exposition of the Lord's understanding of the value of Brahmanas that Vedic culture upholds Brahman in such high position. In fact, Vedic culture is established by Brahmanas. Brahma janati iti Brahmana, right? Because Krishna knows that when he is not there, it is the Brahmanas who will do his work. Right? Krishna is forever concerned about the well-being of all his children. Like a loving father is always concerned about his children, whether they are ruffians or whether they are obedient. He always cares for them. Right? He may care a little more for those who are obedient, but he is never hateful of those who are ruffians. Similarly, Krishna is very concerned about how the world will work. Right? And the Brahmanas, people who have inherited knowledge from Krishna, right? And they are the people who are going to actually guide human society. So they are the light of the world. Just like the sun is the light on the physical platform, the Brahmanas can be considered as the light of the world. Without Brahmanical culture, without Brahmanas, it is very clear that the world will be plunged into darkness as much as a night in the absence of the sun, there is abject, complete darkness. Right? And therefore, Krishna has not only spoken, but has also in his example shown, with how would the world know unless he speaks and he shows. Right? There are two ways of, you know, teaching people. You speak it, you show it. Right? That's the commonest way of, you know, teaching people how to do it. Like a good teacher has to teach his students, and then teacher also has to do. Right? Like when Christ is washing the feet of his apostles, right? He's showing the world that if this is what I am going to do to my followers, how much you should all of you follow these apostles. Right? In the same mood, when Krishna is worshipping Narad Muni, when Krishna is worshipping with such devotion, somebody as poor as Sudama, he is making a strong statement. Right? Krishna is making a strong statement. He is making a statement here verbally by glorifying the Brahmanas, right? In so many ways. But when he is bowing down, when Dwarkadish Krishna, the Lord of Dwarka, right, sits down on the floor. And who has the audacity to sit on the throne of King of Dwarka? I mean, even an ordinary king of, maybe Baroda or whatever, you know, this small king, you know, Hyderabad, Nizam, this. Can anyone just walk up and sit on the king of the throne? I mean, throne of the king? Can anyone say, please excuse me, I want to sit here for a few minutes, right? And it will be, you'd probably be beheaded for saying that. Even if you ask that thing, Maharaja can sit there for 5 minutes, you know, or 2 minutes, or just, I just want to feel how does it feel, you know, sitting on that cushion and nice Manik Mani or whatever, you know. You cannot. Nobody can ever sit, even in a regular office, where the CEO sits or the manager sits, you know, clerk cannot say, Sab udhar baith ke dekho zara kaisa lagta hai. Look, go and sit on the, you know, CEO's chair or the manager's chair or the, you know, chairman's chair. That chair, it's a regular chair which costs, you know, 8,000-10,000 rupees. Anybody can buy it from outside, right? There's nothing great about the chair. It's just a nice fashion, good curve, takes care of your back and, you know, this and that, whatever. Takes care of your various dynamics of the body curves and all that. But it just costs 5,000-10,000 rupees, maybe, you know, something high five, 15,000-20,000 rupees, whatever it is. But nobody can sit on that chair. It is the CEO's chair. It is the chairman's chair. Right? And anybody who comes, however important, must sit on the opposite chair or nearby, but cannot sit on that chair. Right? So also, who can sit on the king's chair and who can sit on the throne of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We don't call it a chair. When the king sits, it's called a throne. And ordinary people sit, they call it a king, they call it a chair. Right? But kings, they don't sit on chairs, they sit on thrones. Right? Who can sit on the Lord's throne? The Lord is making a statement, yes. Apart from me, of course, I'm qualified to sit on this throne because I'm the king of the world, I'm the king of the whole world. There is somebody else also, a category of people who are worshipable as much as I am. You don't want to see how I do it? I'm going to make them sit on my throne. And I, like a praja, like a das, like an ordinary person, I'm going to sit down there. And I'm not going to just sit down there, I'm going to call for holy water and wash their feet. Not just wash their feet, wipe those feet. Now just wipe those feet. I'm going to take that water and put it on my head. Not only just that, I'm going to put that on the head of my dear most queens and das and dasis. Because they all need to know that there is nothing more powerful than the water of the feet of my devotees. Nothing is more powerful. And even I beg to get a part of that water on my head. And even drink it. What a statement. What a statement. Right? How powerful is the Lord. When he wants to make a statement, how graphically, how vividly, and how clearly he tells what he wants you and me to do in this world. Right? And therefore that story in the 10th canto of Sudama is so important for all of us. It is not just a story of two nice friends who were living together in the Gurukul, you know, years ago at, you know, Dwarka, near Dwarka, you know, that Ujjain, right? And that place is in Ujjain today. Ujjain is called as Avanti, Avantipura, Avanti, various Ujjaini, various names. But Krishna and Sudama was staying there. The ashram of Sandeepa Muni was in Ujjain. It is still there. The place is still there, very much preserved, conserved, sanctified. So it's not that because just because my friend, you know, from the alumni, you know, you can say, oh, my old friend from the has come in after years, so you know, like, okay, let's catch up with, you know, what's happening in life. It wasn't just part of that. That was there. He wanted to catch up with Sudama's life for sure. But far more than that is to show how I value my devotees who are pure-hearted brahmanas. Right? And Narad Muni allowed that to happen. Narad Muni is, you know, is not squirming in the chair and saying, why are you doing this to me? Don't wash my feet. He just allowed it to happen. Narad Muni allows because he knows as what he is, that this is a leela of the Lord. It is not that I am greater than Krishna. It is not that Sudama is greater than the Lord. It doesn't mean that at all. Right? That because Krishna is sitting down, he is inferior. But Krishna loves to do that. He loves to put the paduka of his father, Nanda Maharaj, on his head. It's a strong statement also of how you should worship in obedience to your father. Especially if your father is, you know, a gentlemanly, nice, wonderful person. If he's a Vaishnava, all the more. Put your father's slippers on your head. Right? So Krishna loves to do this. To show the world how much I care for my parents. How much I care for my parents who are such wonderful Vaishnavas. Sanatan devotees. Right? And therefore, of course, this statement of Krishna is often taken to advantage by unscrupulous people who pose as Brahmanas because they are born in Brahmanical families. Right? And therefore, in our country, we have gone through this historically evident misfortune that the Brahmin culture was misconstrued by people who are selfishly motivated. Right? And they use a position of being Brahmanas to exploit, to cheat the lower classes, the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras and others. Right? And because of that, abuse of the holy caste system, as designed by Krishna, because of abuse of that system which Krishna gave, the Brahmanical culture fell apart. Right? There was a rebellion against the Brahmanical culture, and so many things happened historically, which we won't go into that today. But the fact remains that India, the fall of India, the fall of Bharatvarsha is practically, in Prabhupada's own understanding, the singular mind's factor which made India fall apart completely is the tyrannical regime of unscrupulous brahmanas posing to be what they are. It is the single most important factor how things felt, and it is depicted by the fact that Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj. That's the first event, like the maiden event, the singular most event which showed, yes, what future is going to happen. In the future, people like these who have got power will abuse their power to destroy people who are, you know, doing good to the world. So the abuse of power the brahmanical tejas. When you do tapasya, when you control your senses, perform terrible vows, you get power. Demons know that. How to get their power. So they perform tapasya also. So you get the power. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, they know this. That power is not in the sword. The power is there in the sword, of course. But far more power than the sword is the power of tapasya. Right? So they go into 10,000, 15,000, 20,000. You know, we keep on hearing, you know, all sorts of things they do. You know, they stand on their leg and they stand on their head. And there are, you know, tapasvis in, you know, Lord Shiva's, there are tapasvis of Lord Shiva's, you know, devotees who have been standing, you know, not standing, hanging upside down from trees for 10,000 years. So all sorts of things are there like that, you know. In the story of pastime of Mahakaleshwar Unujjain, there is one of his demonic followers who was like hanging upside down trees for 10,000 years, right? And then standing on one leg for 10,000 years and all sorts of such things. So why do I do that? Because they know that tapasya brings power. Right? And therefore, anybody who chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Devotees know this also very, very well, that when they chant nicely, they get power. And we want power. We want power of the mind and senses to serve Krishna. Right? Power is not bad. Power is not bad. Right? It is the abuse of power which is bad. Just like money. Money is not bad. And money is not good. Power is not good. Power is not bad. Nothing is good. Nothing is bad. It's our motivation, our the way we approach that thing is what makes it good or bad. Right? So when devotees get that power, Prabhupada got that power. He wanted that power so desperately. Saraswati Thakur, our Paramacharya, he chanted 1 billion names of Krishna. For what? To get that power. Right? And Prabhupada, it said, the whole first chapter of Lilamrita says, a lifetime in preparation. Preparing what? To get that power. The power of the mercy. It is not your power. It is not our power. It is Krishna gives you that power. To preach on his behalf. It is not our power. We have nothing. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we purify our senses through austerities, we get power also. And even devotees can abuse that power if they want to. And sometimes we do land up abusing our power because of the modes of nature acting upon us. Right? But a sincere devotee will use that power to serve Krishna, to serve the devotees. And in this particular purport, what is coming up is that Krishna is, so the second part of the discussion today is to see how Krishna, what Krishna is saying, that okay, there are people who don't understand this clearly at all about the power of the brahmanas and etc., and they cannot follow that lifestyle. Then let them do one thing, let them take care of those brahmanas. If you can't become that, then you take care of them. So this is what it says over here, that if you simply offer charity. So this is a sloka which can be very useful to understand the value of charity. And Yon Krishna is himself saying, give charity. But he's saying, whom to give charity? Okay. There are people, many people who are charitable. And because they have extra money, some resources. But whom to give charity? Should I give to anybody who asks for it? There are so many organizations, you know, waiting there to get money. You put Google into, you know, so many foundations, oh, they'll be happy to have any amount of crores and billions of dollars from you. Right? But whom to give money? Who are the people who are eligible patra to receive charity? The eligible patra for living charity also are the brahmanas, the devotees. Of course, in our understanding as followers of Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master is the highest brahmana. Brahma Janati Brahmana. So who is revealing the Supreme Brahman to us? to know Brahman is fine, you know. But who knows the Supreme Brahman? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitan Param Bhavan, Purusam Sashvatam Divyam. Arjuna is saying the Param Brahma is Krishna. So who is revealing the Supreme Brahman to all his disciples and people in this world? The spiritual master, quite naturally, right? So whether a spiritual master is from Africa or from America or from, you know, a traditional Brahminical family from the South India, you know, family, from wherever he is, the Guru's birth is not at all important. Right? Shatkarma Nipuna Vipro Mantra Mantra Visharadaha. Vaishnava Guru Nasyat, Vaishnava Sapacha Guru. Right? That even if you know all the, you know, various tantras, mantras which a Brahman is qualified, if he is not a Vaishnava, then he is not qualified to be a Guru. So in our setup, what makes it relevant to us is that our spiritual masters, irrespective of whatever backgrounds they have come from, and they come from diverse backgrounds, we can see in our society, it's such a beautiful example to see that how some Vaishnavas come from Africa, some from Russia, some from New Zealand, some India, from Japan, they come from so many places, and all are representing Krishna, they are representing God. And therefore for us, they are the first Brahman in our life. So if one has to give charity, then the most eligible person naturally could be, a first choice could be, give your spiritual master. Because he is the highest Brahmana. And what are you going to do with it? You're going to make a nice house for himself, buy a nice car for himself? No. We know they're going to give it to Krishna for some very, very important project which brings Krishna consciousness to this world. Right? So therefore, this sloka is, I would say, a great impetus for us to understand that the spiritual master is the natural choice for those devotees who want to give charity. Right? The natural choice. Okay. If I want to give somebody, I can give anywhere I want, but my first choice would be my spiritual master. Or for that matter, any other pure Vaishnava. Irrespective of his caste, creed, religion, you know, external stance, whatever it is, I give it to him. Right? So therefore, and he says here, and then Krishna is saying, you know what benefit I will give you if you do that? He said, even if you are not a perfect follower of Varnashram system, if you yourself are not very pure, if you are not very Brahmanical, if you are not following all the, you know, rules and regulations, the fact that you are just giving charity to the devotees, just like Krishna did that. What did Krishna do himself in Dwarka? He gave huge charity to Sudama Vipra, which he had not practically given anybody. Right? And practically Krishna gave more to Sudama than he probably gave to anybody else on the material platform. When that fruit vendor came and she gave some fruits to Krishna in Krishna's hand, Krishna gave him a basket full of, not fruits now, but a whole basket full of gems and jewels and rubies and emeralds. And of course, must be billions of dollars, of course. When Krishna gives something, he doesn't give duplicate, gems. He will give original gems. So the basket was full of those gems. But what did he give Sudama? Sudama, it is said, got something higher than the residents of Indraloka. He got something more than Indra's palace. This simple Brahmana who had no food even to give to his friend, when he went to see Krishna in Dwarka, he had no food in his house. Some of us, when we go to our house, we have something stored for 1 year, right? They have this big, now they don't do so much, but I remember in my olden days, when you go to the village nowadays, some people tell us, okay, what is this? Oh, they have a whole separate room where there's whole one year ka chawal, 1 year ka gheu, 1 year ka dal, 1 year ka, whatever, pawa, and everything for the whole year is there, right? So there's no deficiency, a lean period is there, and everything is there. No problem. Bharga rak diya, so we'll fill everything in a particular month of the year. They will say, the whole year stock is kept. But Sudama had not even for the evening. Yeah, not even for the evening. He didn't have for that particular day also. Anyway, that had to be begged. So it is impossible to understand how poor this man must have been. Inside his veins, his body was so thin, all his veins were visible. That when your subcutaneous fat dissolves, then your veins become prominent. A fat man's veins you can't see. because the whole fat is covering all the veins. But if you have a thin man, all the subcutaneous fat is gone, right? And then the veins become very prominent. So he was all veins everywhere, veins everywhere, thin, very thin person. And Krishna was so happy, and people in Dwarka think, what is this man? No, he wants to meet Krishna. What do you think? You know, he looks so dirty, looks so niggardly, looks so shabby. You know, how would our king want to even meet such a person? So they also were judging him externally. And the moment Krishna saw Sudama, he's sitting on his bedstead with Rukmini. And the moment he saw out of the gate, way back from in his courtyard, that Sudama is coming, Krishna just ran out of this palace. And he embraced Sudama with so much of love and shed tears of affection. Right? And he escorted him. Right? The kings don't do that, right? Kings do that. When somebody comes, they don't do that, start running down the throne and catching people. They just sit there and say, okay, welcome. Have a seat. You know. Please make him comfortable. You know, so king doesn't have to get down from his throne or get away and just start running to receive people. He doesn't do that. But Krishna did that. He just escorted him inside and said, oh. And the moment he brought him inside, he said, you sit here now. And I'll sit down. What a reception. What a reception to Sudama. Right? And after all, they talk so many things and about the past and so many nice things about the stories there. Right? And then Sudama goes back and Krishna is thinking, I have not apparently given anything to him because I don't want to embarrass him right now. But I know his heart. I know his heart very well. So Sudama is not thinking, he didn't give me anything. I mean, my wife sent me to get something from Krishna, but he didn't give me anything. So he's not at all dissatisfied because he's fully satisfied in his remembrance of Krishna. That's the power of remembering Krishna. But the Lord Shiva has got nothing. The Lord Shiva has no house for his own self. He is supposed to be Tribhuvannath. Tribhuvannath is the Lord of the universe, Tribhuvana. Where is his house? Where is his palace? Well, he doesn't have a palace. He's staying, sitting under some banyan tree. Tribhuvannath's got no house, right? So what makes him happy then? No, you need to have a good house and car, this, that, something. It makes you happy. What is the happiness? Tam Krishna Rupam Manasas Marami. That is Krishna, his happiness. So remembering Krishna is Lord Shiva's happiness. So Sudama's happiness was like that. He didn't get anything from Krishna. Oh, it doesn't matter. But see how Krishna dealt with me. We talked so nice things. And he just filled with that emotions and the remembrances of the dealings of the Lord. And he just completely mesmerized by looking at Dwarka, Krishna's dealings, Rukmini, this, that. He's completely mesmerized. He's just sort of almost in a state of, mesmerized. He just walked out of his place. And he didn't know when Dwarka came and when his Porbandar came. And he just reads and says, where is my village? Where is my village? Where is my home? Where is my hut? Huge, huge, huge palace. Krishna proved here that he gave charity to a deserving Brahman. What he is saying in this sloka today, I quickly rescue from all calamities the persons who uplift Brahmanas, right? To show the statement, he himself gave big charity to Sudama. Right? Of course, Gaur Purnima is approaching. The same great Sudama came in Gaur Leela as Shuklambar Brahmachari. Right? Same great personality. Again, this time in this Leela also, complete, abject, bureau poverty line type of situation. He was a beggar. He was a beggar. So, it is fascinating to see how in Mahaprabhu's Leela, Krishna's Leela, there are Pratapruthar Maharaj, people who are kings of Odisha, powerful people who are warriors, kshatriyas, and they are controlling huge state of entire state of Odisha is theirs. And they're fighting, expanding their territories, and of course they're very humble in front of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. And they come to meet him, taking a broom in the Rath Yatra and humble position. And from your topmost kings in your Swarupa Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, great people. And you have even beggars in Lord Leela. Beggars, bhikshuks. His profession was to just go and beg. He never had a job. He never had a house. I don't know whether he had a family. But again, the same thing that Krishna did to Sudama by sort of almost forcibly pulling out his potli of poma, chidad, from his on his waist, and then enjoying that so much. Wow, this is nothing compared in the 14 worlds is better than this. This is the highest thing. He's filled with the love of Sudama and his good wife. Right? So same thing, he just plunked his hand inside the potli of Sukalamana Brahmachari. He used to go and beg, you know, as Radhana Maharaj says many times, when you go to beg, what do people give you? He was speaking from his own example. What do people give? Don't give you, you know, strawberries and mangoes. Even though they may have a lot of things in their house. But they give you all tukda chawal. Dried chawal they'll give you. Or a sukha roti. Something which they have left behind from the night, which nobody had. So, you know, it is not so palatable anymore. As, you know, you make chapati after a few hours, you know, it becomes like dried, becomes dehydrated, right? So, it becomes harder, right? They give it to the Brahman. So, the beggars always get the unwanted stuff. They never get the wanted stuff. Because what is unwanted in the house, at least the torn cloth, the torn pajama, a torn t-shirt or a torn sari, okay, somebody comes and give it. Nobody gives what you want. They give what you don't want. So here also, same thing. People in Shuklam Brahmachari's bag, what was there? There's nothing, but people are just not, okay, somebody's come to the door, said, chalo, they give something. But the Mahaprabhu is putting his hand right there inside the potli of Shuklam Brahmachari and is enjoying it. Wow. How wonderful is that? So again, he's glorifying that the Brahmanas are so dear to me. Even if they are beggars, they are very, very, very dear to me. And the proof of that is that he is allowed to come in Srivas Angan and dance in that intimate circle of devotees. And people of the caliber, Thakur Haridas was there, Srivas Thakur was there, Advaita was there. People of that caliber are there. And in the midst of all them, who is dancing? One beggar of the village is dancing with them. Do we allow beggars to come into your own house and dance with somebody like that? Huh? It's an intimate activity. It's a private, concealed, highly confidential activity of the Lord with his very, very close associates. He would not allow anybody, even Brahmanas. You know the story of the milk-drinking Brahman is there. The milk-drinking Brahman, my God, that person must be so special. Throughout his entire life, maybe he was born with his mother milk, of course, as he grew up. As he grew up, he continued to drink, you know, mother's milk. Not his biological mother, but cow's milk. So he was on mother's milk. As he grew up as an adolescent, childhood, maybe adulthood, just milk, milk, milk. No grains, no anna, nothing. No fruits, only milk. What type of tapasya is that? It's not easy, right? I mean, however, you know, I don't think they put a lot of, you know, essence, vanilla essence and all in that. Or Everest milk masala powder or something, you know. It is just milk. I don't even know whether it says and it puts shakkar inside. And just milk. I don't think milk is so tasty to, you know, you don't want to add some ilaichi or something, shakkar, something. Ruabza. It's just milk, 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 milk. How much milk? Lot of that means a lot of tapasya. His sense control is there. He just do not want to eat anything. So he went into his yard, please. Let me enter this. Let me see this dance of the Lord. So you know, everyone knew he's such a pure-hearted person. He's not a scoundrel. He's not a hypocrite. He's a nice person. He's austere. He's genuine. He's well-read in scriptures. He's well-behaved. Every way he's, you know, proper Brahman. Chalo, come inside. And then how, of course, we know that story, how Lord became angry. So, in one sense, when it says the word Brahmana, what the Lord actually wants to say is Vaishnavas, typically, right? So when we say Brahmana, it is not just the ritual of taking Upanayan Samskar or, you know, becoming twice born, but actually it is about becoming a Vaishnav. That means a genuine devotee of the Lord. So that story is so special for us to understand that just tapasya may be good for a regular Brahman, but in Krishna's eyes, his heart is yearning for the love of his devotees. Right, so let us keep reminding how much if Krishna loves his devotees so much, and that he's able to, he say, I will quickly deliver them if this go and serve those brahmanas. I will, even if you are not a great man of great caliber, I will deliver you if you have served the brahmanas who are poor, stricken, or they're suffering in some way. You want to, you help them. Somebody was suffering in that way, this way, whatever, and you went and helped them. Okay, I will deliver you because you helped them, because they were suffering. Siddhantam means one who was suffering in some way. I will deliver you also. So we can end with this understanding that how much is it upon us, so that we don't take brahmanas and vaishnavas for granted. That's the biggest challenge we may all have amongst ourselves, that because we are surrounded by devotees, and when you have something in, when you have abundance of something, you take it for granted. If you have something which is very rare, then you don't take it for granted. That's a very common principle, right? If a lot of money, then money is okay. Money is not a big thing for you anymore, right? If a lot of power is there, you don't care, right? So if a lot of devotees around us, then we may take it for granted. So we have to be very conscious in the way we deal with them, and knowing from these verses how much they are worshipped by Krishna, to offer our respects to them, our love to them, our affection for them, serve them, not taking offenses for them, and deal with them in the way they deserve, because they are the dearmost people to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they are His intimate people. They are His own people. The Vaishnavas are Krishna's own intimate family members, right? And therefore we have to be very conscious that we deal with them with that awareness, mindfulness about their special position in this world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.